Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
The birth of the first child, the adoption of the first child, those things made it abundantly clear that there was just a huge, big, gaping hole in objectivist theory and in libertarian theory.
When Jesus becomes the means to an end in my thinking and my theology, this turns Jesus from a person into a vitamin.
For getting up there to preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, if that is truly why we're speaking, then Law and Gospel is how that happens.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues, etc.
The technology to do this has existed for a long time. The ability to do it, that is to freeze human embryos or to freeze eggs for the future, that's existed for a long time. What hasn't existed so much for such a long time is your company, your employer's willingness to pay for it. And then comes this story about Facebook and Apple, two corporations of no small means and influence, have decided that for their female employees, they will pay, they will cover the freezing of eggs for the future. Now, that is a development. That is probably an example that other companies are going to want to emulate. Other companies are going to want to imitate. What does it mean? What are the ethical concerns about women freezing their eggs for the future? We're going to be talking about that here for the first few minutes of Issues, Etc., live this Monday afternoon, October the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be talking about God's covenant with Abraham. Feel free to join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your question or your comment at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about women having their eggs frozen for the future and Facebook and Apple being willing to cover it for their female employees, Susan Yoshihara. She's Senior Vice President for CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, based in Washington, D.C. Susan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Nice to be here.
What concerned you the most when you read the headline about Facebook and Apple covering female employees freezing their eggs?
You know, I thought, women beware. I thought, here are corporations, and what's in it for them? I mean, why would a corporation whose interest is in the bottom line want women to defer their motherhood? And I thought, follow the money. And I thought, really, women need to be very skeptical and prudent when they look at this as a good thing. The money, where it goes, and, of course, the broader question of what's most important in your life, motherhood or work, or both.
Okay, so, I mean, just the simple biology lesson here kind of helps us get to that follow the money angle, doesn't it? I mean, a woman can conceive into, say, her early 40s, but if she, early in her career, takes those younger eggs, freezes mm-hmm. them for the future, she can defer childbearing, well, I guess, in theory, indefinitely, can't she?
That's the idea. And yes, I have to say, a truth in advertising here, I had my first child naturally at age 44, so I certainly deferred motherhood, if you will, for a career. I had a career in the Navy for 20 years. I was a Navy helicopter pilot. I traveled the world, and I enjoyed it. But that's because I was so busy with a career, and I didn't settle down or couldn't settle down. So this is a very personal subject for me, too. My second daughter, my husband and I adopted after waiting for 6 years. So we know what it's like for that yearning and not knowing whether or not God is going to answer our prayer. You know, on the other hand, we also know that marriage, sex, and babies go together. I mean, we just know that when you get the order mixed up or you leave one of those out, that there can be trouble. And in this case, freezing your eggs and hoping for a baby is one thing, but that hope is really only a hope. If you look at the nuts and bolts of this, you know, they're offering, say, $20,000 to invest in this. But remember, if you freeze your eggs in your 20s, let's say, or 30s, and that's $500 a year maybe to just to freeze them, and then you have the storage costs, then not to mention the IVF costs. You know, it's almost $10,000 around now, and many times that fails. I mean, there are women, so many women, who've tried this over and over again and have not realized the birth of a child. When they sent me up to a clinic in Boston, the first thing they said was, you know, we want you to visit our mental health clinic because every time our patients go through IVF, it's the emotional equivalent of a car accident. And honestly, I asked them to repeat that because it was surprising to me. And it's true, though, that this can be very stressful for women. So it's not cost-free, I guess. It seems as though it is the hope of deferring motherhood. But really, women should be very skeptical and really look at what they'd be getting into. And the second thing I would say is, you know, now that I am a mother, I'd say I'd want to be a mother at any age. Yes, I had a great career, but I would have given it all up to have my two girls and a happy family life. And if I were to defer that career and have my children first, I'd be just as happy. And I know that's not the message that corporations want to send, but I know that's the message that many families send, and it's a good message. We're all going to be working into our 70s anyway, so we'll be plenty of time for working. But there's more to it. And the last piece of it is hard choices. When you freeze your eggs, let's say you need to implant more than one, two, three, however many embryos, and they're fertilized, older women especially are then faced with either taking twins or triplets to term or having to downsize or terminate some of their children. In other words, to abort the children that the doctors recommend we don't have. And especially for a Christian, that's a terrible choice to have to face. Very, very difficult choice, and it's one that happens all the time. And so I would say women would need to think very carefully before setting that as a plan.
One of the things that concerns me, I don't really consider myself a feminist, but just kind of looking to the interests of women in the workplace, it seems to me that a far more realistic way for corporations to approach the fact that, you know, women tend to have babies, especially mm-hmm. when they're married and you know, they spend a little time with their husband. Women tend to have babies. That's nothing new, but I imagine from a bottom line perspective, that's very expensive for a company to kind of manage an employee who may need time off, who may need time off several times, multiple times in her career. If I'm Mr. Bottom Line, just kind of staring at the beans I've been counting, I'm going to say it's much easier for just us to gently encourage them to defer that childbearing and save ourselves the trouble and the cost. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, yes, I guess that can be true, taking time off, going home early, focusing, you know, having something competing for your attention besides just, you know, climbing the corporate ladder. Yes, that's true. But, you know, children don't cost as much as elderly people. If you look at the cost of raising a child, the health care costs, for example, they're very cheap compared to taking care of us in our old age, you know, taking care of older workers or prolonging our life. And we need children. I mean, if these corporations were really looking at their own health and the health of corporate America, they'd be concerned about who the workforce is going to be in the future, right? And right now, we're facing a demographic decline. The United States has always been the exception in the world. We're doing far better than Europe and Asia, but for how long? I mean, if you look at the numbers now, our own fertility is really high only in areas that don't necessarily have the best track record with you know, employment, time between employment, health, education, et cetera. These corporations really should be investing in children and the future of their company, unless they're only looking out, you know, 30 or 40 years, which I think is really short-sighted of them.
So you say there's a much broader kind of whole economy way to look at this that would, if they were looking 50 years down the road,
they
would be saying, let's encourage families.
That's right. I just had a book come out 2 years on this. It's called Population Decline and the Remaking of Great Power Politics, if I could just plug that. And this is a problem that we're not creating strong families, families that instill those qualities which make for really good workers. Things like the work ethic, loyalty, coming to work, working with others well, all of these we have found time and again, studies show, are instilled in families. Well, how do you build those strong families if you don't invest in the children and helping the parents to have them? So this idea that couples, not just women but men too, should focus only on work and until their elder years, I think is folly. And I would like to talk about the men here too. You know, what we see here is this ideal of femininity being just like a man, you know, that you can be childless like a man. And to me, that is a shrugging of the entire, you know, feminist promise, if you will, which is that women should be fully feminine and also fully productive and happy in society. And we are at our best when we are mothers. I don't see why we have to become like men. And in fact, I think that this is a rather misogynistic attitude. And I would just encourage people to perhaps look at the lining around this sort of bright cloud of promise.
Now, these two companies, obviously, they're huge, both Facebook and Apple. They are also often imitated, even in their mistakes, and they're viewed as very progressive in terms of their way, their business models, their way of marketing themselves and dealing with their customers. Do you expect this example of both Facebook and Apple to be followed by other corporations?
You know, I was wondering that. I was thinking of the U.S. military, where I spent my youth from when I was 17 to when I was 41, I'm wondering whether the military, the American taxpayer, would be expected to freeze the eggs of every woman in the military so she could deploy and then, have children in her retirement years, and then we'd also pay for that. I don't know. I suppose it's a very small investment to make to get your 20 or 30 years out of somebody and then let them sort of sort the rest of their life out after they've retired. I suppose so. I suppose if they had the money for it. Again, I think that's where you have to say buyer beware. I mean, women should be very wary of something that that would have them defer something that could, something which would be the object of their life. You know, your children will be around you when you're 80, and Apple won't.
There's a certain kind of instilled or kind of intrinsic wisdom in our biology. And I wonder about someone who says, and maybe you can speak from some kind of partial experience here, someone who says, I'm going to defer childbearing until I'm past my childbearing years or conceiving years. I might decide to become a mother at 50. Your thoughts on someone who says, I'm going to do that at 50 because I can, as opposed to someone who is parent earlier in life, and how that changes the parenting and the child dynamic?
As I said, if I had to do it all over again, if someone said to me, you must choose between your beautiful daughters and your Navy career, it would not be a choice. I don't know any parent who would not choose their children. It just, it's like falling in love. It doesn't matter when it happens. You're not going to pass it up when it happens. So I do encourage women. I talk to women all the time, and I say, don't put it off. You know, when I was young, I did want to put it off until after my childbearing years. I didn't know that your fertility falls off at 27. For some reason, I thought it was much later than that. And I didn't know that our biological age sort of peaked at 27. And I don't know how many women out there know that. And so, yes, I do encourage women to think about getting married and having their children earlier. Although, as I said, circumstances were such that I didn't, and God was very generous and kind. Very generous and kind to me and my husband.
Finally, then, why is it questionable? Why are you concerned that companies cover the cost of their female employees freezing their eggs for the future?
Well, I think that it holds out a false promise for women. It forces some very hard decisions that they are not necessarily fully disclosed. Freezing your eggs, the high cost of having to freeze it, the burden of freezing it for so many years, and perhaps not making those decisions about whom you're going to marry because you feel as though you have all that extra time. And then that promise won't be there. You know, the miscarriage rate is almost half by the time you're in your 40s. So even though you might go through all of the pain, the suffering, and the cost of IVF and then never have it materialize, I worry that women will look back and think that this was the wrong choice for them. And so I encourage them to just, rather than focus on control, rather focus on trust in God. And in any case, even if children don't come, you'll never regret that. You'll never regret trusting.
Susan Yoshihara is Senior Vice President for CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights, based in Washington, D.C. She's also author of the book Population Decline and the Remaking of Great Power Politics. You'll find a link to both at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Susan, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Monday afternoon. We'll be in the book of Genesis, two different places, talking about God's covenant with Abraham. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Ernst is a Lennox and Geocomfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a novel titled House of Living Stones. It's written by regular guest Katie Schuerman. House of Living Stones tells a story about the power of forgiveness in the life of a small Lutheran congregation. House of Living Stones costs $10.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. House of Living Stones.